9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy and Jill.
Happy Thursday.
You got me saying that now, too.
Happy, it's a happy day, whatever day it is.
It's a happy day when we get rain.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a big time.
Yeah, I've been awake since like 5 a.m. That thunder was pretty loud outside my window, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, really, the way the crow flies, I don't live that far from you.
No, not really.
If you go south. West of your house, mm-hmm. It's probably, let's see, you guys are what, 2 miles from 152?
Yeah.
And then we got 3, 4,
so six roughly?
Yeah, 6 miles. Yeah. Straight southwest. Can't get there from there.
No.
So,
no.
You know, the river kind of gives us some issues there. But anyway, man, the storm, I seen it brewing last night around 6:30 or 7. And, it was way out in the Texas Panhandle, and it was coming across. About midnight, I looked at it, and it was like shrinking up.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 o'clock this morning, boom.
It hit.
Yeah.
I think our electricity, like, flipped off, like, 3 times.
Well, you it doesn't matter. You know a guy.
I think I do. I thought about getting up. I would be like, hey, what's the deal?
Oh, yeah, you know a guy, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
73 degrees at Hollis, 76 at Mangum, 73 at Hobart, 77 at Granville. No, that's Tipton. That's Tipton. 79 at Granville. And then we have 69 degrees at Slapout, 77 at the May Ranch, and 78 degrees at Helena, and 70 degrees at Tologa. So anyway, or Putnam, what is it? Yeah, that's Putnam.
It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place out here. And then what, Texas Panhandle, same thing going on there. 72 at Wellington, just an hour north, 64 at Miami, and 68 at Paladura Reservoir. And we've got just some great weather. Looking, I brought it up on another link. Looks like Roger Mills and Dewey County, they got the brunt of the rain last night.
Nice.
According to the Mesonet, and I know some other people had heavier amounts, but at Cheyenne, they had 1.2 inches. Looks like it just starts over there by Raiden, kind of makes its way up towards Dewey County, and then it takes a hard right turn. Looks like a golf course. You see this? Looks like a.
I'm looking.
It looks like a golf course layout. Anyway, 1.47 over there. Just I'm gonna guess that's Calumet. So I had a half inch in my house, and you think you had about an inch?
Roughly, yeah. About I think about 3/4 of an inch.
Okay, and a little over half inch at Arnett, and they got a little bit up there in the at Beaver. And Beaver and the Slapout had 441 thousandths at Slapout, and they got some rain, quite a bit of rain out in the Texas Panhandle. So hey, we got another round of them tonight, which is good. People are planting stuff. Your daddy's even planting stuff.
Think he's done now.
Yeah,
I think he finished in time for the rain, which is good.
I heard his daughter came to his rescue.
I did. I had to go. He ran out of seed. He was like, can you do me a favor? And I was like, sure. And so he was like, could you go get me some more seed, please? I was like, nothing would make me happier in the world.
To go get some more seed.
Yeah.
You didn't put that in your new car, did you?
Oh, no. I took the feed truck.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so.
No.
Yeah, he got her in, though. He got her in just in time for rain.
Cause yeah.
They did get a rain at
Hex. Yeah, he finished last night.
The Bobby Martin, the electrical pole man. He Snapchatted me right at, I don't know, daybreak. You know, it was even before daybreak, and he was on the front porch, and it was just pouring down rain over the Hex.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, so you guys.
Yeah, it was definitely wetter. I went over there this morning to get our feed truck. With my brother, and it was a lot wetter than I thought it would be.
Yeah, so it's going good. Well, let's go and see what happens overnight, because the grain markets, from what I'm seeing today, are just getting hammered hard today. But let's see what caused all this overnight. Grain futures plunged in overnight trading, and soybeans were lower after the Black Sea grain initiative. The agreement that's keeping ag products flowing out of Ukraine was renewed for 2 months. The agreement was set to expire today, but negotiators, even though they said they weren't negotiating this week, lied. Ukraine, Russia, and Turkey and the United Nations hammered it out to an extension into mid-July, and it is hurting our grain markets today. And you know what happens when you hurt the grain markets? The cattle always go up. The feed gets cheaper, which is a good thing, but there's not a lot of feeding being done right now.
No,
unless
not
you're
really.
Weaning calves or something, or feedlots. But anyway, this thing was designed to help stem global food shortages, which was originally brokered last July and implemented at the beginning of August. It was renewed in November and again in March. You know, they get to stop a lot of negotiation if they just do it 1 year at a time. It'd save all this crap, but I don't know. I'm not into politics, so I ain't so smart about that. More than 30 million metric tons of grains and other ag products have been shipped from Ukraine, which has been under siege by Russia. Now they're getting their butts kicked by the Ukraine. So anyway, I like it. So since February of 2022, about 57% of the shipments have been sent to developing countries, though only 19% has gone to lower middle income or lower income countries, according to the UN. Wheat prices face further pressure overnight as precipitation is expected in much of the southern plains where hard red winter varieties are growing. What's that tell you? Wheat prices face further pressure overnight as precipitation and is expected in much of the southern plains, which is us.
Yes.
Texas, Oklahoma, and parts of Kansas, where hard red winter wheat varieties are growing. What's that tell you? That the rain's going to help the wheat crop?
No.
Our wheat crop's done.
No.
And I don't,
wheat's a winter crop, isn't it?
Huh?
Wheat, it's a winter crop.
Yeah, we don't have the spring crop. We got the winter, hard red winter wheat, is what it is. But it just, I don't get it. So anyway, who's going to make wheat is already done, and they already know who's going to make wheat. So anyway, just something to knee-jerk the market.
Basically.
That's what it is. Six times the normal amount of rain has fallen in parts of eastern Colorado, western Kansas in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. Parts of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle also have seen precipitation in the past 7 days. Wheat for July delivery dropped 12.5 cents to $6.13 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 22 and a quarter to 863 and a quarter a bushel. Corn futures fell 6.5 cents to 555 a bushel, and soybean futures for July delivery was down 3.5 cents to 1333 and a half bushel. Soy meal dropped 450 to 42080, and soybean oil lost 18 to 4661 a pound. Storms are expected again across Oklahoma and Texas panhandles this afternoon. Some potentially turning severe today, according to the National Weather Service. Large hail and strong winds are in the main risks associated with the storm. A tornado cannot be ruled out. In addition, heavy rainfall will likely accompany the strongest storms, which might lead to localized flooding or flash flooding. In northwestern Kansas, meanwhile, more storms are expected in that area overnight. Hail and maybe 2 inches of rainfall rates at 2 inches an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot.
Wow.
So, anyway, air quality is an issue in the whole state of Montana and the northern half of Minnesota, who are under alerts due to smoke from the wildfires in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Travels that far? Wow.
Yep. There. Yeah, last year we got some smoke from.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, the air was like super
New
hazy.
Mexico.
Yeah, and it was kind of like it had like a reddish tint to it. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by
the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau.
Yeah, and we'll have more on that coming up after this Oklahoma break. Farm Bureau break. I couldn't spit it out. Anyway, so we'll have that coming up, and I'll have you some updated grain markets, some cattle deals and prices, and then we got some stuff on from Oklahoma State on castration of the bulls. Mm-hmm. And I got some stuff from NCBA president was in Washington, and he talked to a couple of the representatives up there in front of some board deal to talk about what's going on with cattlemen out here. And we got all kinds of good stuff to talk about. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mickey asked the questions. He wanted to make sure things were properly insured as far as values, not to be too high necessarily. You know, a lot of people are probably going to try to get them on up there where the premium is higher, and Mickey wasn't that way. He wanted real values, didn't want me paying any more premium than I needed to pay, but wanted me properly insured. If you start missing things by $1,000 or $10,000, that adds up in a hurry. Either you'll be underinsured and you'll be disappointed, or you're going to be overinsured and paying too much premium anyways. And Mickey made it a point that we nailed it on the head on every little last piece that I had. He took the time to do that. He made sure it was right. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by
the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau.
Anyway, we have received 93 one-hundredths of an inch here in Elk City. Temperatures at 69.8 and humidity's at 79%. No wind. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, I have chosen the huge metropolitan area of Miami. Not Miami.
Miami.
Anyway, 64 degrees, humidity is 88, dew points at 60. The winds are out of the south at 11 with wind gust up to 14. Peak wind gust today was 21. 3.37 inches of rain so far in the first few weeks of May for Miami, and that's pretty good. That's a dry area.
Really?
Yeah, it's south Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Between Canadian, well, to the west a little bit, but it's basically between, Pampa and Canadian. So anyway, red flag minutes zero, sub-freezing minutes zero. I'll probably be about done with that. Anyway, 8-inch soil temperature in Miami is 70 degrees. And anyway, I had a few text messages during the break. Guy sent me a picture of he's baling hay. Somewhere down there in the Willow area.
Area.
And it's dirt's flying.
Yo.
So, anyway.
What's he baling?
Wheat hay.
Ah.
Baling wheat hay. Well, yeah, that's all he's got down there because I know he doesn't bale cotton. So, anyway, yep. Let's get this. Let me see what was got. Got some news. Oklahoma Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization that gives a voice to Oklahoma farmers, ranchers, and rural communities, directed and guided by our Oklahoma farmers and ranchers. Oklahoma Farm Bureau advocates for our state agricultures and rural communities around our state, at our state capital in Oklahoma City, and in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. With some breaking news out of Roger Mills County, congratulations to Chloe Sue McIntyre of Cheyenne FFA, and you know this guy, Mason Tucker of Sarah FFA, for being the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau Scholarship recipients.
Very nice.
Good luck to them, to those members, and their next chapters.
Yeah.
You guys are moving on to your next chapter.
I know.
Class of 23.
It's scary. It's exciting and scary at the same time.
What are you scared of?
Not having home-cooked meals every night. That... I don't cook. I can bake. I don't cook very well, though, so.
Well, you have 3 months to learn.
I have 3 months to learn.
Yeah.
Got it.
Anyway, so you need to talk your dad into getting you one of those mini freezers up there in your dorm room.
Oh, I got one.
Fill her up with beef.
Beef, yeah. That's exactly. Anyway. What's, I was like, so you better keep me stocked up.
Dad, you keep the roast and just bring the steaks.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I bet you would be very well taken care of up there.
Probably.
Yeah, you guys will learn to eat down there on the corner at Taco Bell every other day.
Oh, not Taco Bell. Anything but Taco Bell.
What do they got up there close to this? It's been a long time.
Oh, in Stillwater, they've got everything now.
Yeah.
I like Cane's. Cane's Chicken.
Yeah.
Because you get, like, you can get slaw and the bread, and it's not just like chicken and fries, you get like the whole meal. Yeah,
gotcha. And you got to be there when August,
yeah, something like that.
Well, don't get all bummed out on it. All right, let's update the markets, and Jill and I are going to do some markets here. So I'm going to quickly go over a few of the live markets is right now. Corn for July is down a little over four at 556, September's 496, down not too bad, and December's 502. Soybeans for July, 1341, they're actually in the green now. August is 1277, up a little over two. Soybean meal for July, 417.90, even, down over 7 cents today already. August is 411.10, down a little over five. September's 399 for soybean meal. Soybean oil, July, 47.58, doing okay today. It's in the green. August, 47.71. September, 47.63. Hard red winter wheat, July, getting hammered today. 8.56, down almost 30. September, same thing, down 28 at 8.45. And we got oats for July down a little bit, a little over 4 cents at 3.38. September's 3.45. Scrolling down to the cotton. Cotton's actually up some today. It's been hanging around 80 cents since July is 86 cents a pound. almost 87 cents, and October is 84 cents a pound. All right, what's happening with live cattle? June, 165.25. 163.27 for August. October's 167.52. December's 171.52. Now, Jill, if you put your cursor on that feeder cattle and click on it twice, it'll give you all of those. See how that is?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. May is 205.50. August is 233.82. September's 236.67. October's 238.30. And November's 238.20. Looks the feeders look really, really
good. Yes, they do. They're all in the green.
Yeah, they're all, they're just, but that price is, we hadn't seen that. I don't know that we've ever seen that. Lean hogs for July, or for June, is 84.97. July is 84.42, and August is 83.80. I didn't get my report from the Hobart Stockyards from their sale yesterday, so I don't have anything to go on. But I do need to finish up our brief people, because we got sidetracked on our futures over here. But if you want to join the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, you can easily join it by going by their office in Cheyenne. And memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various business. 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org. Have you joined yet?
I don't think so, not yet.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's not like you're busy.
Actually, I'm not anymore. The last month has been a roller coaster, but we're good now.
Anyway.
It's like leveled out.
Well, the NCBA president testifies before Congress on the state of the livestock industry. Today, National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Todd Wilkinson testified before the House Agriculture Committee Subcommittee on Livestock, Dairy, and Poultry at a hearing titled A Review of Animal Agriculture Stakeholder Priorities. Wilkerson, a second-generation cattle producer from South Dakota, highlighted stronger market conditions in the cattle industry and discussed new challenges facing farmers and ranchers from burdensome regulations and inflation. Many of you have said it before and wholeheartedly agree. Food security is national security, he testified. Working together, we can ensure the long-term success and viability of those on the front lines providing said crucial food security. We owe it to the next generation to get it right. Wilkerson explained that the cattle industry faces challenges, including the threat of foreign animal disease, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's overreaching packers and stockyard rules, and activist attacks the beef checkoff. His testimony also focused on key priorities for the cattle industry during the 118th Congress, including 1, need to get the passing of the 23 Farm Bill with provisions to protect animal health, promote voluntary conservation programs, reinforce disaster programs, and support risk management programs. Nullifying the U.S. Department of Agriculture's harmful packers and stockyard rule that injects heavy-handed government mandates in cattle producers' business. Defending the beef checkoff, which supports the cattle industry's long-term success and is supported by the majority of producers. Reauthorizing the animal drug user fee to protect the Efficient Food and Drug Administration review of animal drugs that keep livestock healthy. A few more here. Recognizing the cattle producers are America's originalist conservationists. And that's true. And the cattle play an important role in strengthening grasslands and upcycling forages that are edible to humans and the wholesome beef. Reauthorizing livestock mandatory reporting to provide cattle producers with consistent, timely, and transparent market information. And also expanding beef processing capacity through legislation like the Direct Act without jeopardizing food safety. So anyway, sounded like he was a busy guy up there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I seen a picture on Facebook this morning. On one side was a cow, and on the other side was a buffalo. And this cow was labeled cow. This is a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And over here it said this buffalo is, what is it? I can't remember. This is here. It was pretty funny. I got it right here. Just to be clear, this is a cow, and over here is a high-capacity assault cow. So anyway, it's pretty good. It was pretty good. Also, I posted on our Facebook page, the KCO Facebook page. I posted a deal on there, SEI Agritech, down here
I was just there picking up my seed.
Yeah. It's time for cover crops. We got moisture. You know, we've always put cover crops in, but if you don't have irrigation like the last few years, it's been tough.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you hit the range just right. But, man, we're off to a pretty decent start. The drought's still here, but yes. We got moisture in the ground right now.
I saw a chart this morning that was like, droughts across Oklahoma haven't improved. And then I looked right down to Beckham, Oklahoma. I was like, we're still in the D3. What are you talking about, improvement? We're still in the D3.
Well, you know, and speaking of that, let me we got ground. I brought up soil temperatures. Mm-hmm. And today, 4-inch soil temperatures are, it's crazy. Elk City is still the coolest ground temperature in Oklahoma. I don't get it. There's something
That's
wrong.
Weird.
Yeah, there's something wrong out there. Anyway, 70 cool degrees at 4-inch soil temperature at Eric, 65 at Elk City.
Is it because we live in a bowl?
No, because the mezzanine's on top of a hill out there south of town.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, 72 degrees at soil temperatures at Hollis, 67 at Hobart, 71 at Buffalo, 67 at the May Ranch. There in Camargo, soil temperature 4 inches, 69 degrees, if anybody wanted to know. If you haven't got your garden in, it's time.
I know my grandmother already has hers in.
I'm breaking out a new one.
Are you?
Yep, I'm breaking out. Well, I got my garden planted, but I've decided to expand my horizons.
Okay.
And I'm going to animal proof it. Deer.
Oh yeah, with
hogs. Yeah. Yep, I'm going to animal proof.
Yeah, theirs I think has like an 8-10 foot fence on it. It's big.
Yeah. So anyway, well, we're gonna take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When we come back, what are you gonna talk about?
I'm gonna talk about castration.
All right, be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The skills you've acquired in dealing with people throughout your school years will serve you well for the rest of your life. No matter what your occupation, you'll be working with others in some way. Having a positive, kind, and gracious attitude toward coworkers and clients will help you succeed wherever you go. We congratulate the class of 2023.
SEI Agritech recognizes this year's graduating class as they become the innovators and leaders of tomorrow.
Whenever we work with families, they almost end up becoming family because we're talking about such personal issues. This young man had come in and his mother had passed away. And she had been a foster mother all her life, and he wanted something special. He had seen a bronze that we had that was a circle with leaves around it and little birds in there. And he said it just reminded him of his mother so much because she took care of everyone. The little bird and had the little baby birds in it and everything. Linda designed this vertical monument and placed this bronze piece on the monument, set it in the cemetery. And it was after Mother's Day the next year, he called and he was so excited. Bluebird had made a nest in the bronze. Now Mother's Day, the eggs hatched and had baby birds in the monument that he had made for his mother, who had been a foster mom. It was very emotional for us and him because it represented everything he wanted. Willis Granite Products is the name of our company. We're contacted through our website, willisgranite.com.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Jimmy Clark's calendar goes straight from March 31st to April 2nd because nobody fools Jimmy Clark. A good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 15th. 1,065 head were sold, 12 head of steers at 591, brought 219, 22 at 689, brought 222, 4 at 774, brought 205, 12 at 861, brought 184, 9 at 898, brought 188, 34 at 900, brought 189, 41 at 968, brought 187. 750. Four head of heifers at 453, brought 221. 14 at 559, brought 218. 7 at 767, brought 188. 13 at 787, brought 196. 3 at 790, brought 186. 53 at 856, brought 182. 74 at 892, brought 179. 10 butcher cows were 64 to 107. Butcher bulls brought 97 to 139.75. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Well, welcome back to the Today in Ag show with Jimmy and Jill. We are broadcasting live on 96.5 KECO here out of Elk City and 100.1 KWFX out of downtown Woodward. Anyway.
Woodard.
If you get out of radio range, you can always, our Paragon Communications app is free.
Mm-hmm. Or you can watch on Facebook Live.
Yep, watch on Facebook Live, or you can go to KECOFM.com, listen to us anywhere in the world.
Or if you can't catch us right now, you can go watch, listen to the podcast after the show ends.
Yeah.
There's so many options.
I mean, really, it's awesome. We've come a long way.
We have come a long way. I feel like we've come a long way since I started here.
I think
in the
right.
4 months, we have really advanced our communication.
Between you and Jancy, you guys have actually made me look good.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So
I have your Northwest Oklahoma weather for you, and I picked ceiling today. It is 75 degrees and ceiling feels like 75 degrees. Dew point is 62 degrees. Humidity is 65%. Wind is out of the southwest at only 5 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:37 p.m. tonight. Today, there is a 60% chance of rain showers with a high of 76 degrees. Winds are going to stay out of the southeast. Tonight, there's a 90% chance of rain showers, low of 60 degrees. Winds are going to shift from the southeast to the northeast. Tomorrow, 60% chance of rain showers, high of 70 degrees. Saturday is looking to be 74 degrees and partly sunny, winds out of the north. Sunday, it's going to be 76, winds out of the south and sunny. And Monday, there's a slight chance of rain showers at 20% with a high of 76 degrees and winds out of the southeast.
So we got more rain coming.
More rain. More, I like to see that.
More rain. Actually, I have a listener that, when's your birthday?
2.5 weeks. It's 2 weeks from Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, cool.
I'm a June baby.
You're a June baby.
Mm-hmm.
So what day is that? Oh, it's 8th?
No. Too far.
First?
No. Too early. Meet right in the middle.
Come on.
Do some math, Jimmy.
Fourth,
that was really
fourth or fifth. Just put the number out there and save all this conversation.
It's the 4th.
Okay, cool.
June 4th.
All right.
I was born a month early. I was supposed to be born on July 4th.
That's what's wrong.
I came 4 weeks early.
So my mom, bless her heart, she's up in heaven. She was born June 7th.
Oh.
So anyway, there's a piece of advice on the text line for you.
Yes.
Take a pellet grill to college.
We actually have like a mini one.
Yeah.
We take it with us when we go to Colorado, like in the summers, and we just hang out and we throw it in the back of our
truck.
They're
the best.
Yeah, it's about that big probably.
Right.
I mean, they're small, but they work.
Yeah.
I could do that.
There's some people trying to help you out.
I appreciate that. I need to have something to grill a steak on. I really do.
What is your new school coming up got to say about bull castration?
Well, they've got a lot to say, apparently. This is kind of a longer article, so bear with me. This is what the article's name, The Value of Castration for Calves. It's by Kelly Curie Roper, I think. I think is how you say it. I'm horrible with last names, y'all. You know me. She's an Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing Economist, and she says, a look at previous numbers collected by OSU Extension Specialists indicate that in 2013, 10.3% of the lots coming through the livestock auction at selected weaned and feeder calf sales were lots containing bulls. That number dropped to 7.1% in 2014, 4.7% in 2020 and 2022. Data indicate that only 5% of lots at these selected sales contain uncastrated males, with the exception of a blip at 12% in 2021, likely attributable in part to an untimely extended Arctic blast. I don't think any of us really want to remember that. This decrease is a trend in the right direction. Do you remember that? That was like the worst 2 weeks ever. The Arctic blast in February. Oh, it was awful.
Yes, it was.
Castration of bull calves prior to marketing has long been encouraged by extension educators, and the recommendation is backed by objective research from multiple perspectives. From a health perspective, calves castrated at less than 3 months old experience lower stress levels, less sickness, and lower rates of death loss. From an animal welfare perspective, older calves experience more stress at castration and a longer period of stress-related impacts relative to calves castrated at birth or at branding. Bull calves also show more aggressive behavior while uncastrated, implying greater risk of injury for other animals and for humans. From a beef quality perspective, calves weighing more than 500 pounds at castration generally have carcasses with less marbling and lower tenderness ratings. In addition to potentially missing out on quality grade premiums, from an economic perspective, bull calves castrated past 3 months of age will weigh 20 pounds less on average at slaughter and will take 12 days longer to reach slaughter weight in the feedlot relative to a calf castrated at less than 3 months of age, resulting in a higher cost of gain at the feedlot. From a cow-calf operator's perspective, bull calves are usually discounted at the sale barn relative to steers of the same weight, impacting your bottom line. And that discount typically grows as calf weight increases. Found that bull calves were discounted an average of $5.77 per hundredweight relative to steer calves at feeder cattle auctions in Oklahoma in 2010. More recent data indicates a discount for bull calves in the range of $11 per hundredweight to $12 per hundredweight for a 500-pound calf. That's a difference in revenue ranging from approximately $30 to $60 per head. Those discounts are for bulls and steers of the same weight. So what if the bull calf gains at a faster rate than the steer while he is on my ranch? This implies that I can sell more pounds of calf at marketing if the bull and steer are the same age at marketing. That higher weight also implies, however, that the bull's price will be impacted not only by the bull discount, but also by the price slide for selling into a heavier weight category.
Yep.
And I'm just going to wrap this up real quick. So if you don't regularly castrate male calves prior to sale, consider whether you have the resources to add it to your standard calf management protocol. Unlike some management practices, buyers can easily observe this one, making it an easy one for marketing or management and one that has relatively high return for your efforts. So if you need assistance with the how-to and when of castration, contact your county extension educator.
All right. How easy was that?
Yeah.
Well, when we come back from this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour break, brought to you by
the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, who I'm about to become a member of.
And we will, I got this, the saga of
saga?
Section 12 out there in California, where they voted into the Mama Sal's got to have so much room. Or they won't buy their pork in California. Well, it continues. And now, since the Supreme Court ruled in favor of California's voters' law, which they did vote it in. So there is. So anyway, now their meat packers and livestock producers are going after their state or U.S. state representatives and senators to get this crap changed.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk about that when we come back from this break, and we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaugh, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC, it was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's been said that Jimmy Clark is the only man on the planet who can slam a revolving door. Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 12th. 1,293 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 244 brought 322. 3 at 457 brought 270. 5 at 554 brought 232. 6 at 599 brought 237. 3 at 687 brought 208. 12 at 691 brought 196. 4 at 945 brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 380 brought 234. 3 at 490 brought 228. 4 at 526 brought 217. 6 at 541 brought 218. 13 at 542 brought 223. 6 at 692 brought 170. 18 at 900 brought 176. Butcher cows were 43 to 105. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 125.50. Bred cows were 860 to 1475. Pairs brought 575 to 2500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to Today in Ag with Jimmy and Jill. And that's Jimmy Clark and Jill Metter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's going on for the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast?
In southwest Oklahoma, I picked Hollis today. It is 73 degrees in Hollis. Dew point is 63 degrees. Humidity is 69%. Wind is out of the south-southeast at 8 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set also at 8:37 p.m. Today, there's a 50% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 87 degrees. Tonight, 70% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 63 degrees. Tomorrow, 50% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 79 degrees. Tomorrow night, 20% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 54 degrees. Saturday, it's going to be partly sunny with a high of 77. Sunday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 79 degrees. And Monday, there's actually a 30% chance of rain showers with a high of 80 degrees.
Okay, well, this drama continues with the override Supreme Court. They want people want to override the Supreme Court on this livestock regulation. It says meat packers. I'll let you guys listen to it.
Override Supreme Court on livestock regulation, say meat packers. By Ferns Ag Insider. The meat industry encouraged farm state lawmakers on Wednesday to legislatively override the Supreme Court ruling that gives states the power to set animal welfare standards and regulate meat sales. The Supreme Court decision upholding California's Proposition 12 opens the door to chaos and a welter of state-by-state barriers, said Brian Burns of the North American Meat Institute. Industry needs certainty, said Burns at a House Agriculture Subcommittee hearing. But any federal or legislative solution to this requires careful drafting to ensure it's legally sufficient to address the problem but not vulnerable to legal challenges in court. In a 5-4 ruling last week, the Supreme Court upheld California's voter-approved Proposition 12, which would require farmers to provide more space for egg-laying hens, veal calves, and breeding sows and would ban the sale of meat and eggs produced on farms outside the state that do not meet California's standards. Farm groups challenged Prop 12's rules on pork and hogs, including a provision to give individual sows 24 square feet of floor space. Hog farmers commonly use sow crates that greatly limit a sow's movements. Burns said the Supreme Court ruling will trigger similar regulations in Massachusetts, where state officials delayed implementation of Question 3, approved in a statewide referendum in 2016, while Prop 12 was before the Supreme Court. Question 3 would impose similar animal welfare rules as Prop 12. It will also embolden anti-animal ag groups to pursue burdensome laws elsewhere, and it will open the door to chaos in interstate commerce through state-by-state trade barriers, not just for meat and poultry products but for any products not meeting the standards set by another state, said Burns. The National Pork Producers Council, whose members include processors, said the impact of the Supreme Court decision will go far beyond the farm. And Subcommittee Chair Representative Tracy Mann, a Kansas Republican, said the ruling invited unthinkable, unscientific regulatory overreach against all producers. During Supreme Court arguments last October, the pork industry asked for a strict interpretation of the so-called Dormant Commerce Clause, which prohibits state laws that discriminate against or excessively burden interstate trade. California's Solicitor General, Michael Mongan, said Prop 12 would affect only the farmers who wanted to sell pork in the state. California voters chose to pay higher prices to serve their local interest in refusing to provide a market to products they viewed as morally objectionable and potentially unsafe, he said.
There you have it. See, isn't that crazy? California, you know, if you want to sell, for example, pork to California, is California going to send somebody out to Iowa and measure the stall for the sow?
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, so anyway, it's crazy, and same thing going on question 3 on the East Coast in Massachusetts. So anyway, it's crazy what's going on with their deal, but you know, that I was waiting for somebody to come out after the Supreme Court ruling last week to talk about what kind of chaos it's going to cause. And the animal rights activists, their brains are already working and they're looking for donations to go after this. So it's kind of crazy, and I don't know. But, so here, I already got somebody text in on that. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
These people who come up with this crazy stuff need to be sent to another planet and left there. They were being nice.
They were being nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, there was a 10-year study reveals how intensive grazing affects foraging behavior and cattle weight gain on rangeland. 10 years they've been studying this. A team of researchers at the USDA Ag Research Service, ARS, is completing a 10-year study on how grazing management practices used in rotational grazing systems and continuing grazing systems affect cattle foraging behavior, diet quality, and yearly weight gain in semi-arid or extensive rangeland. They did this study in Colorado. They put GPS collars on the cattle so they could track them, so they didn't have to go out there every day and look at them. Mm-hmm. And activity sensors, they monitored the herd's grazing pattern. The primary objective of the study was using the sensors to measure the steer's foraging behavior and relate this to how they were gaining weight. So the collars provided the team with data on animals' daily grazing activity, included the time spent grazing, how many steps were taking, an indicator for grazing speed, the shape of the foraging pathways, and how long each animal lowered their head as a sign of eating, an indicator for the length of each meal. The researchers then used this technology setup to conduct a range scale experiment. Steers were divided into either smaller herds in paddocks or of a non-rotational, a seasonal long grazing system, or one of those that they used to rotate. Cattle did not have as much freedom to roam and be more selective on what to eat. So they ended up eating what was available in front of them, which was lower quality forages with less protein, and they gained less weight as a result. These behaviors were directly correlated to the average of 14% reduction in a steer weight gain in a multi-paddock rotating system compared to the non-rotational continuous system. You wonder what that means? I don't know. No. I'm asking you.
I want to know.
Well, we're getting to it. The researchers found that herds in the multi-paddock rotating system did not move around in search of the best, most digestible vegetation, and they also ate slower, spending more time on the same patch of grass and not turning their heads during feeding. The less selective foraging behavior led to reduced lower diet quality and consequently lower weights gained compared. So
they eat in like the same area, basically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened. I don't know if you notice, if you go, like I noticed in my pasture, I got four pastures down there. One's 120, one's 160, one's 25, one's 80, and they somewhere in that neighborhood. And you put them out on that 160-acre patch.
Uh-huh.
They stay in one, they congregate in one area, that 160, even though there's grass over there on the other, but this is the grass they like.
Oh, okay.
So they don't.
Right.
Yeah. And then you put them out on the smaller ones, they eat her all. I mean, they don't have any choice.
Right.
So that's what they're saying here, that you put them in a small paddock, however they say that, paddock, and they eat everything there because that's all they got.
That makes
put
sense.
Them out on the big boy pastures. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'll just stay in one spot.
And stay in one spot because certain grass and certain soils, they like that grass.
Mm-hmm.
But what's crazy is I got some of the, they call it the, what's the grass they call it? Salt grass.
Yes.
On my place because I got a flash flood area that goes through there and that salt grass grows in where nothing else will.
Yes.
3 days after a rain, you can go down there and my cows will be on that salt grass for at least 2 days, 3 days, depending on what the temperatures is. And then about 3 days later, they're gone. They go back to their little areas and they won't touch it again until it rains. And I think it's because that grass is so not necessarily salty, but it's salt sharp on their mouth.
Right.
And it becomes more tender after a rain.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So anyway, I made the mistake of going down there. I bought that place. That stuff looks so good. I need to bring my swather down here and cut this. So I asked some guys down there, hey, you guys ever cut this? I know. But man, it sure looks like it'd make good hay. Well, I cut it, baled it, swathed it. That stuff didn't grow for 3 more years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Learned your lesson there,
and that
you?
One guy said, well, you didn't ask, really. He said, I've seen it burn before and it not come back for a long time, even when it's raining. I said,
wow.
Here you go, buddy. So I haven't took a swather down there since.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah. So anyway.
No, my cows, they rotate. We've got like a Bermuda section, and then we got rye down at the end.
Yeah.
And they move in like a counterclockwise circle. because the water's on the Bermuda side, the rise all the way down there, so they'll make their section run to the rise.
Your buddy.
Stupid moths.
We got a moth in the shop.
They're awful.
They are. They're terrible this year. I had one in the truck last night. I about wrecked trying to kill it.
Oh.
So, anyway.
Wow.
I hate them just as bad as I do flies. So, anyway. Thanks for coming in, Jill. We'll see you next week.
Of course.
All right. You guys have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Jill Metter. And God bless.